Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily podcast on the Brooklyn Nets. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
You are Locked On Nets, your team.
And welcome into another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. Here's the funny thing. We just recorded two. The first episode wasn't up to our standards, so we redid it. We thought it was pretty good. And then we stopped recording, and we immediately find out that the Nets had their biggest trade since that Celtics one. We don't like to talk about Brook Lopez. He's headed to Los Angeles, and more importantly for him, Disneyland, along with the 27th pick in the draft. The Nets get back the second pick in the 2015 draft, D'Angelo Russell, plus Timofey Mozgov, who was pretty good in the finals 2 years ago, and now is one of the worst contracts in the NBA, and I've yet to introduce myself. I am Gavin Shaw. I've covered the Phoenix Suns the last couple years, dropped it all, moved to New York to cover your Brooklyn Nets, alongside lifelong Nets fan, Josh Bass.
Gavin, I don't know what to say.
You're distraught.
I am not. I wouldn't say distraught because I do like D'Angelo Russell a lot, but Brook Lopez has meant a lot to this franchise, meant a lot to me. One of my favorite players, just such a fun personality, seems like a great guy. And I'll miss being tangentially involved in always the Robin Lopez mascot beef and all of the shenanigans that those guys have going on. But let's talk a little bit about the trade. What are your first thoughts?
We could take a second and go over. I know this is a rapid reaction. We got to be fast, but we could take a second and go over Brook's legacy because I didn't even know this. You just told me this. He's the Nets' all-time leading scorer.
Yeah, past Buck Williams is the all-time leading scorer. Late last year, I think with the second or third to last game of the season, then they shut him down after that. But listen, Brook was always a great player. Never said a bad word. Never spoke out in public, even after he was always on the trade block. Really a true professional, a great mentor to the young guys. I always see on Instagram guys like Rondae Hollis Jefferson, Caris LeVert. They love Brook. Added the three-point shot to his game this year, and it was so much fun to watch. And really, after all he's gone through, the trade rumors, the injuries, being on the team for nine seasons is amazing. And I'm so proud of him. And I wish that he'll be on a team that can make the playoffs. So hopefully the Lakers get Paul George or LeBron and can actually build something. But at least they'll have Lonzo to get him some buckets.
Yeah, and I think the underrated part here, certainly not from your perspective, Josh, but just in general, is that Brook Lopez went totally unnoticed because he was on the worst team in basketball, but he was a really, really good player last year. He's one of, I'd argue, in terms of big men, one of the better offensive big men. You could put him top 5, 6, 7 in all of basketball. Averaged 21 points per game last year and was really efficient, even though he only shot 47% from the floor. It was because he was shooting all those threes last year. Took 5.2 per game. Are you crying? Josh was like bowing his head into my pillow, but
my eyes tearing up a little.
Okay, all right, that's fair. I'm really rubbing it in. I'm sorry, but anyway, he really did develop that 3-point shot last year. Took 5 a game, which who would have thought Brook Lopez would ever shoot 5 3-pointers? He came his career, never shot more than 0.2 per game in his career, and that was the season before. Hit 2 a game, which is a pretty good mark, 35% from there. Strong free throw shooter, not as good of a rebounder as he was his first 2 years in the league, but that was, keep in mind, he's averaging almost 21 points a game in under 30 minutes a night. That's, I can't speak enough to how impressive he was, and obviously it was a big focal point for the Nets, but to do that and maintain relative efficiency, that's really, really impressive. And then we look at who the Nets got back in D'Angelo Russell. And obviously, the premise of this trade, at least the premise that was agreed to in this trade, was that D'Angelo Russell was a more valuable asset than Brook Lopez, hence the Nets sending back a pick and taking on Mozgov's contract. So in a way, it was kind of a 3-for-1. And I think D'Angelo's worth it. And I know he hasn't been spectacular by any means in his first two NBA seasons, but I always think the expectations are a little bit too high for those freshmen that come right out of school, and you'll occasionally get the guy that's just incredibly special or just flashes stuff right away. And the thing is, Russell really did flash. You saw everyone, I think, remembers that shout-out to Vine, RIP, that pass he had when he was at Ohio State that seemed to bend time and space. And he still showed a little bit of that in his first 2 years in the league, and particularly last year where you really saw him improve was his ability to break down defenses off the dribble and find teammates. He only averaged 3 assists as a rookie, which for me was really disappointing, even though he was a two-guard coming out of school. I thought his best skill was his passing last year, all the way up to 5, averaged 16 points a game, but not particularly efficiently. And if I'm reading the room right, Josh, I think that might be your biggest concern, that he only shot 40.5% from the field last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a concern, his ability to score efficiently on twos. But when you look at Russell, his second year, his assist ratio improved and his turnover ratio was cut down. So that's obviously a good sign. And he's shown the ability to make threes both from a catch-and-shoot standpoint and also off the dribble. His percentage, 35%, solid, nothing spectacular, of course, but he should be able to improve on that. And I really like his fit with Jeremy Lin. Defensively, it's going to have some problems, and the Nets don't have a true center right now on the roster. So they're probably going to be the worst team in the league with their current roster. Just no big men at all, no defensive-minded big men. But I really think that's an interesting set that Kenny Atkinson can do a lot of different things with D'Angelo Russell, Jeremy Lin, and also guys like Caris LeVert at the swingman position, guys that can all pass, cut, move, and it's going to be really interesting to see how Atkinson uses them.
Yeah, I think Russell is a really clean fit, at least in terms of how he plays. And again, and I don't like to rub it in to Nets fans, and it's not something we bring up all that often, but this trade is a lot more palatable in the hypothetical world where they have their pick next year, because then you're totally going to a youth movement. You're adding one more prospect to the board, and now, I mean, and again, it doesn't, in a purely, I guess, clinical sense, it doesn't matter if the Nets are good or bad next year. They're giving up that pick either way, and you can't retroactively screw over. I mean, you can retroactively screw over the Celtics by being good, but it doesn't
It's petty.
That shouldn't be your priority by any means. Looking at what they can do moving forward in terms of that center market, this is rapid reaction, so by the rules of the game, we didn't do a deep dive. But my first thought was, and I thought the Nets should do this anyways, but now I really think the Nets should do this, is you throw max money at Nerlens Noel. We haven't gone through the cap yet, but Josh, as you pointed out, by offloading Brook Lopez's salary, which I think was about $20 million next year, you should, even with taking on Mozgov and Russell's lower salary, you should have room to throw the max in Nerlens. And not that I necessarily think Nerlens is a max player. He's a guy I think I like more than the average fan, the average writer who maybe notices flaws a little bit more, but I think with his defensive instincts, and I think he truly is a dominant defender, and his abilities as a rim runner, which we spent all this time the last two podcasts or two ones ago anyways talking about Justin Patton, how he'd be great in that role and how the Nets offense would really benefit someone like that, pairing a great rim runner with Jeremy Lin and D'Angelo Russell, and your offense is those two guys taking turns setting pick and rolls with him with two or three shooters around depending on who else is on the floor. That is really, really intriguing to me, and that's how I think the Nets are, if not good next year, fun. And I think that's a really good basis for a future, especially considering how young Noel is. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I think Nerlens would be a really clean fit if Dallas if the Nets decide to pursue it.
post-Lopez congestion.
Yeah, if the Nets decide to pursue him, and also if Dallas doesn't want to match, I think they would. But also, listen, he can protect the rim. Very mobile defender, would be a nice fit on the team. And also looking at more under-the-radar guys like Cristiano Felicio, the Brazilian big man who played on Chicago, guys like Alan Williams, great rebounder from Phoenix, Jeff Withey, really good rim protector, all these guys who could be had on the cheap. And we talked all year about how the center market is so saturated and there's so many centers, and that's part of the reason why Brook Lopez wasn't able to fetch a palatable return for the Nets at the trade deadline. But now that he's gone, the Nets can take advantage of that saturated center market by bringing someone in for a good value deal and be able to build around them, or at least have them make them a respectable team next year, and a team that isn't going to give up 120 points a game.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree with that, and I think getting that kind of quintessential energy big would really fill in the big and really fill in that hole vacated by Brook Lopez. It might even be, obviously not in terms of having an offensive focal point, because they really do need that and lack that, but that would be kind of a cleaner fit. And Cristiano, they call him the big Fogo de Chao, and I think he'd be someone interesting in that spot. Yeah, that's about it. Just, I guess my final thought on it is, in terms of a big picture perspective, this is the move the Nets had to make. They had to get a blue chipper, and they were two, three years away from getting a blue chipper. The 2019 draft, that's the first time that guy really becomes available. And you can, I know some NBA evaluators don't necessarily think D'Angelo Russell's that guy anymore. There's a reason he was the second pick in the draft, and he, again, I think people who have been a little bit too hard on him, especially with some of the off-the-court antics he had his first year, but it seemed like he really matured, really got over that. And beyond that, I think he has special talent as a passer. And if he continues to grow, continues to get more athletic, which I think at his age is definitely a possibility, I think he could turn into a really, really good scorer as well. The Nets had to take the shot. They had to unload Brook Lopez at some point. They saw an opening with the Lakers desperate to be good and create an infrastructure that'd be good for Paul George to come into, and they took advantage of it. So overall, it was quite a bit to give up, but I'm pretty happy with the trade.
Yeah, listen, we got a blue chip talent, someone with pedigree going back to his high school days in Russell. It sucks to give up Lopez. He meant a lot to the franchise. But also, we're getting Timofey Mozgov, Russian player, Russian owner. There's a little something there. We'll see what happens going forward, and maybe we can rehabilitate Mozgov a little bit where he can be a serviceable backup. Obviously, way overpaid at about $16 million a year, but we'll survive, and I like the trade with D'Angelo, and he's going to be a good fit going forward.
Hey, Russian Mafia, shout out to Sheepshead Bay. That is it for this episode of Locked On Nets, a rapid reaction. It's the third one we've recorded today, so we'll take a break. We'll see you tomorrow.